You're listening to H10, Hanshin Tigers English News. I'm your host, daily sports columnist T-Ray, and with me down Route 171, a couple of prefectures away, is JD. How are things going out there, buddy?
Doing pretty good. Just hunkered down, waiting for spring to start.
Yeah, like all of us. And then just a flight, short flight halfway across the Pacific from us here, JD. We've got Sanjay down in paradise. You must be feeling spring, summer, all that sorts of warm stuff right now. Hey, Sanjay.
Aloha, brother JD and brother T-Ray. It's all good over here, despite some of the issues with travel that some people are worried about. And I'm just a short drive from H1, which is nowhere near Route 170, whatever you were on. But it's all good over here.
All right, well, as long as we got no Corona in our bodies, and JD, I'm not a big fan of Corona beer either, so Corona not in my hand and not in my body, we're all good to go.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, man.
All right. Well, we've got a great show for you today as we talk today about what we think the Tigers lineup is going to look like on opening day and in opening week. So let's jump right into that. But just before that, we got to get into a little bit of rumors and news. All right, well, we have to kind of start things on a bit of a somber note as far as the news goes, because one of the probably most well-known, most respected players and managers in the history of baseball here in Japan passed away on February 11th. That would be Katsuya Nomura, who was 84 years old. And right really up until he passed on, he was writing columns and he was commenting, and he even attended, I think, the Swallows camp and told them he would be a coach for them if they wanted one. So a very big loss for the baseball world as far as that goes. He also managed the Hanshin Tigers from 1999 to 2001, unsuccessfully, we might add, but he did build a foundation upon which Hoshino built, and we ended up winning two pennants in that decade. And so, anyways, our heart goes out to the Nomura family, as well as just all fans of baseball everywhere.
Well said, yeah. And I mean, you know, even though he actually passed a couple weeks ago, you know, there's still news about him pretty much every day, which I think speaks to how much he was respected throughout the baseball world and, you know, throughout just Japan in general.
Absolutely. You know, you can go to Yu Darvish's Twitter or YouTube channel. You'll find videos about what he thought about Nomura. Of course, his stepson, Don Nomura, also has spoken out about this as well. You know, has great respect for his stepfather. And clearly, you know, not just on the field, but also off the field, he was a wonderful man. So really sad to see him pass on. But, you know, his legacy remains with us. In other sad news, I guess. I hate to make this the rumors and sad news, but we are looking at an exhibition schedule that is kind of being not really canceled, but at least being blacked out, whited out, coronaed out due to the fear of spreading the coronavirus. NPB decided, I think it was just yesterday, February 26th, that they were not going to have anyone in attendance at any of the scheduled preseason games between now and March the 15th. So I didn't have any tickets, but just the same, it's just kind of a bummer because it definitely brings less hype to this preseason as we look forward to an exciting year. Any thoughts on that, guys?
Well, it's weird. I remember back when I believe it was the Boston terror attacks in the majors, there was a span where they played a few games, maybe just one or a few, with nobody in attendance in the field. And I believe there was one game in Baltimore. It was just bizarre, man, watching it on TV, just watching them play baseball in just utter silence. And so I'm wondering if it's going to be something similar to that this time around. But I guess, you know, it's hard to say whether it's an overreaction or not, but I guess the way they're looking at it is better safe than sorry. So you can't really argue with that.
Yeah, so that's exactly the question that I had, but maybe JD just answered it. Are they going to have at least a TV crews in place so that they can air this stuff, or is it all going to be blacked out?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, all I've read is it says in Japanese, mukankyaku, which means no spectators.
Right.
I'm assuming the media is still going to be there because, you know, if the ball makes a sound when it hits the bat, nobody's there to hear it. didn't in fact leave the park.
Oh, that was terrible. Terrible.
How's that for fun?
Oh, I enjoyed that.
101, dumbed down to the lowest level. I think in order to keep fans' interest, it's in their best interest. I mean, you know, we're not talking about thousands of people in a stadium. We're talking about, I don't know, I'm not really sure, 100? I'm not sure how many people goes into this, but, you know, I think it would be worth their while to keep the TV crews there. So there you go. All right, well, that pretty much does it. I think last episode that we missed out on the opportunity of congratulating Koichi Tabuchi, who was elected into the Japanese Baseball Hall of Fame in early January. Of course, he was a star for the Hanshin Tigers in the 1970s, and we congratulate him on that. And just on a side note, I did go out to see the Hanshin Tigers documentary movie, which was released on February 14th, and I went to see it on the 20th. So if you want to read my review, I'm not going to spend a lot of airtime on what I thought about the movie. Go read the review on the website. Basically, as a hardcore Tigers fan, it was fun to watch, but even I don't know if it was worth the money. I'll leave it at that. You can read the details elsewhere.
Okay.
But yeah, JD, you didn't go out to see it, did you?
No, I ended up getting too busy. I did want to check it out, but I think after hearing that review that you just gave, I'm not too worried about not catching it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it'll ever be on TV or released to DVD, but I mean, I think that's probably the best way to go, if anything. So there you have it. All right. Before we jump into the recaps, we've got a little bit of advertising and shout outs to do. That's right. This is a new thing to H10 in 2020. We have got sponsors for the show that have come to us via Patreon. And so I just want to give a shout out, first of all, to Stephen Green and the Rock Core Company, who have been doing business in Japan for several years. And their business is good business. They put on rock concerts or music concerts. And the only way to get in is to do 4 hours of volunteer work with them. But pretty cool stuff. You get in for free then, and it's a really good show, and you've done some good for the country. So shout out to Rock Core. And also Tokyo Swallows, the Yakult Swallows, unofficial English website /podcast. They are sponsoring us on Patreon. So even as our rivals, they are doing that. You can follow them at tokyoswallows.com, or you can follow them on Twitter at Tokyo Swallows. And of course, be on the lookout for their podcast, which comes out sporadically, but is quite hilarious as well. All right, let's recap the rest of the spring training camp session. So because camp was a little bit short, and because the season is at least scheduled to start earlier than usual, there were a lot of games going on, and very few of them were intra-squad. In fact, I think I only see one on the top team's schedule. So we go back to February the 11th, which is kind of where we left off last time, and the Tigers were in Nago facing the Nippon Ham Fighters. We won that one 5-0, thanks to some good pitching out of Ida, Aoyagi, Hamachi, who each threw three innings of shutout ball. Chikamoto with another extra base hit in this one. So good stuff all around. Again, wins and losses don't matter so much as is each individual doing something well, proving themselves, or you know, just working on something. So the 4 days later, we played against the Hiroshima Carp, and we got swatted 7-1. The only thing that came out of this was Uemoto hitting a sack fly when we were down 7-0. So we'll move past that. Nothing important there, nothing to see. The next day was an interesting one, though. We played against the Rakuten Eagles. Keep in mind, none of these games count in the preseason standings, which mean nothing anyways. But basically, Kyuji came in, I think, in the fourth inning and gave up a grand slam to put us down 0-4. Unusual place for him to pitch. Unusual. Actually, they said that was his first grand slam he's ever given up as a pro. So that's telling you something right there. But hey, guys, our boy Naomasa Yokawa hit a home run. So, you know, good for him. He started the comeback, and then Gunkel and Haruto Takashi came in and did good on the mound. And then it was Kumagai and Haraguchi in the ninth inning that completed the comeback, and it was a walk-off 7-6 win with Haraguchi hitting one over left, I think, for the walk-off. Nice stuff. 2 days later, we had an intra-squad game, and Nishi was on the mound starting for us, and I forget who is also starting for us. But basically, we had Chikamoto and Marte hitting home runs off of Nishi. And those were, the first and third or fourth batters of the game. So a little bit disturbing start for our quote-unquote ace. And then later in the game, Umeno absolutely swatted one off of Ida. So that was about it as far as the offense goes. The The Whites beat the Reds 6-1 or the Reds beat the Whites 6-1. I don't remember. A couple days later, we faced the Eagles again and we pound them 9-1. Justin Bour and Jerry Sands both got their first hits of the year. Takayama hit a home run. And Ono, Baba, Edwards, Suarez, Iwazaki, Moria, and Tanigawa each pitched in this one. Baba was the only one who gave up a run. And that's kind of been a common thing in his spring and his life. Okay, now we get into the final three games down in Okinawa. Excuse me. All of those count in the standings. So our first official one, we won 6-2. Nishi went two innings pitched with one run against. Haruto did the same. Sakamoto hit the first home run that counted. That didn't count for us, followed by Marte hitting a home run, followed by Chikamoto hitting a home run. So it was a fun game to watch, and that one was on TV. Oddly enough, I think the game started at 1, and the broadcast started at 3, and the broadcast ended at, like, 4:30, and they didn't even, like, speed through it. So they actually played it at regular pace. They had regular commercials, and so they only showed, like, 4 innings or something stupid like that. Anyways, the next day, we were a little bit true to our form against the Carp. We lost 14-2. Fujinami, I think, had 2 or 3 innings pitched, walked 2, hit 1 batter, gave up a couple of runs. Naomi gave up 7 runs in 2/3 of an inning and also, I think, tweaked his left knee or something like that. So overall, nothing to talk about here except, wow, I don't know. Obviously, it's a good thing these games don't count, and hopefully everyone was just trying to figure stuff out against the Carp, and they figured everything out against us. Okay, and then we end our time in Okinawa with a sister kisser against the Swallows. 2-2 tie. We were down 0-2, and then I forgot how we got the first one, and then Yokawa, I think, tied it up in the bottom of the 7th, or top of the 7th, with a home run. So Yokawa making himself known to Yano. Pick me. But we also had 3 errors in this one. Itohara playing third base got one. Kinami playing second base got one. And Hojo playing third base also got one. So kind of the usual suspects right there.
Yeah.
And that does it. We basically, I think we had 13 errors in 9 games, not including the intra-squad game, which I don't know if we had errors or not. But there you go. Not very good signs as far as the defense goes. But any overall impressions about, like, names that stood out or anything like that, guys, about the spring training?
Well, I'm glad they got all the errors out of their system.
Yeah. They're going to have none on the season. I'm sure you're right, Sandra.
Exactly, yeah.
No, yeah, the errors are the main thing for me. No real impressions of individual games, but just seeing them do the same old thing that they've been doing all along definitely has me worried. And the only other thing I guess I would be worried about is Nomi a little bit. You know, he is getting up there in age. You know, he really imploded. And I know it's only one start, but between that, the potential injury, you know, and he, I might just be pulling this out of thin air, but I seem to remember him saying somewhere where he was like, when it's time to retire, like, I'm going to retire. I'm not going to be all, like, sentimental about it or anything. Like when it's time for me to go, I'm going to go. I can't remember exactly what he said, but I'm wondering, man, if this is going to be the last season we'll see him. And potentially even having him retire partway through the season if things really don't go well. So those are the only things I really thought about after seeing all these games, yeah.
I will say, in the guy's defense, like, all 3 errors in that last game were with guys playing positions that they're not naturally playing, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And then also, I know this is an excuse, and even the coaches said, hey, we can't make this excuse, but apparently the field in Urasoe where they played was not very high quality. And so, I mean, all 3 of their errors were on actually catching the ball or fielding the ball, not on the throwing end of things.
Mm-hmm.
So, Sanjay, you found an article about guys that were named camp MVP and stuff. Care to share?
Yeah. So there were a couple of things that were in there. And obviously, you know, the main one that was highlighted by Mr. Yano himself is Takayama. He had a monster spring season, in my opinion.
And, he did.
And I think he deserves it, you know, every accolade. He's been working hard, showing up early, staying late, and getting his swings in and all that. So, congratulations to him. Chikamoto was also mentioned as a good one. But I was really surprised, because I hadn't been following that closely, that Gunkel was seen as one of the MVPs for spring training. And they're saying the guy's good for, like, you know, double-digit wins this year. So I'm like, yeah, bring it on.
So is every pitcher on the team in February, but that's another story. Yeah, interesting names, though, for sure. I mean, like, maybe not the usual names, or not guys that we were expecting to, you know, have a big spring. but definitely we hope they can carry that into the season. Speaking of which, let's jump right into the hot topic right now.
Punching Tigers English News. Punching Tigers English News. Punching Tigers English News. Punching Tigers English News. Hot topics. Hot topics.
So if you were trekking along with us in episode 110, JD and I kind of took you through the depth charts at different positions for the team and how, honestly, I mean, it's hard to pick guys that are undisputed regular starters at almost any position. I would say catcher and center field aside, there's very little that has been decided for sure. And so on today's show, instead of just laying out who's there, I figured we could at least talk about who we think should be there in the starting lineup, who should be on the top squad, who should be in the rotation, and who should be in the bullpen on opening day in opening week. Are you with me on that, guys?
Yes.
Oh yeah, bring it on.
All right. So, why don't we do it like this? Sanjay, why don't you start by giving us your hopeful, preferred, predicted, whatever you want to call it, opening day hitting order. And of course, we know that Yuki Nishi is going to be the starting pitcher on that day, and probably he'll be batting ninth. But tell us what else you got as far as the hitting order goes.
Okay, so I've actually cribbed this from one of the starting lineups from the spring training games, but I really, really liked it, and that's why I went with it. And it starts off with Takayama batting leadoff and playing right field. Okay, sure, he will like maybe platoon with Itoi eventually. I don't know, but I want Takayama there. Chikamoto, number two in center field, because Yano says he wants Chikamoto batting number two, so I'm going to respect Yano's decisions. Mm-hmm. Then I do want to see, in the three-hole, Marte playing third. I've actually looked at his videos playing third base with in the majors, and he looked pretty darn good, so I'm good with that. I'm good with him playing third. And then Justin Moore will be playing first base. And, you know, sorry, Fukudome-san, but I want you to be a pinch hitter off the bench when we really need you. So I want Sands in left field batting number five. Itohara second base batting number six. Umeno catching number seven. And Kinami at shortstop. In spite of his challenges on the field, that's my lineup.
All right. Interesting. Good stuff. JD, instead of arguing with Sanjay, unless you really want to, why don't you just tell us what you've got?
Sure, yeah. So this one, I wasn't actually looking at anything that was going on in spring for this one. I pulled this completely out of my rear end. So here it goes.
Well, if it smells, we know why. Okay.
Yeah, well, so I'm sure somebody's going to complain about it. But here we go. So batting first, playing center, Koji Chikamoto. Batting second, playing right, Yoshio Itoi. Batting third, playing third base, Jeffrey Marte. Batting fourth, playing first base, Justin Bohr. Batting fifth, playing left field, Shun Takayama. Batting sixth, playing catcher, Ryutaro Umeno. Batting seventh, at shortstop, Seiya Kinami. And batting eighth, at second base, Kento Itohara is what I have.
All right. So we have a lot of similar elements. We've got a couple of differences, but yeah, that's interesting. You got Itoi batting second, mm-hmm. and Chikamoto leading off. So that's different from Sanjay, and certainly different from me. So let me just roll with what I've got as well. Batting first, I've got at second base Kento Itohara, and batting second in center, I've got Chikamoto. Batting third in right, I've got Itoi. Wait for it. Batting fourth, I've got Oyama at third base.
Oh no!
Whoa!
Oh no! Batting fifth. Are you okay? I think you might have come down with a coronavirus. Actually,
yeah, really.
This is not the usual T-Ray.
It is. Batting fifth, I've got Bohr at first base. Sixth, I've got Takayama in left. Seventh, I've got Umeno at catcher, just like Sanjay, and also just like Sanjay, I've got Kinami batting eighth and playing shortstop.
Okay, well, what I want to hear first, more than anything, is what your reasoning behind Oyama is, because I don't even actually have him on the top squad to start, so...
Oh, wow. Okay, let me go with my reasoning then. For all of the bad-mouthing we did, or all of the knocking that we did of his hitting, there's a couple of reasons that I would put him here. First of all, his fielding is going to be better than Marte's, in my opinion. Secondly... he's got the experience batting fourth. And we've talked time and again about how throwing a foreigner into that number four slot and expecting him to be the second coming of Christ or Bass is a mistake. And I don't think that they should make it now. And one of the other reasons I have for this is that we didn't see Oyama batting with some decent protection around him last year. there was nobody really batting fifth. I think maybe Fukudome for the most part. And, you know, with all due respect to him, that wasn't really a ton of protection for Oyama, I don't think. And I think having Bohr behind him might allow him to see a few more pitches that he likes. And we might actually see true Oyama. The other thing is, like, I don't think he was as bad as we said he was. I mean, he didn't hit 20 home runs, which I was expecting and hoping, and I do expect from him this year. But I really do think that the team at its best is going to have a permanent Japanese number four hitter. Not to always go back to 1985, but Kakefu was that for the team for a number of years. And I think instead of having Bohr in there and expecting, and then, you know, having the media talk about him going 0 for 4 and striking out three times, which is going to happen once or twice and maybe in a row. Instead of that, put Oyama there and let him carry that load of, you know, like the team always says, the media always says, the game is decided by the number four hitter. And I'd rather it be on Oyama than it be on a new foreigner. That's my reasoning.
Interesting.
Now, unfortunately, that means Marte can't be in my starting lineup. And that's kind of a bummer. But anyways, so I'm going to go next, and I'm going to ask, what is the thinking of having Chikamoto first and Itoi second, JD? I'm not saying it's a bad decision. I just want to know what your thinking is.
Well, I actually, when I first did this, I had it the opposite way around. But I was, you know, I kind of, my first initial reasoning, I had Itoi first, Chikamoto second. And I was basing that mostly off of Itoi's high batting average last year. I don't expect him to have a lot of power, but I figure he's got a good chance to get on base. And I liked Chikamoto with his, you know, sort of gap power and, you know, possibly the ability to knock in the run quickly. But then I was thinking, well, Itoi, though, I mean, they do talk about how he's a base stealing threat, but I still have my doubts about this, especially at his age.
Yeah,
I don't know how speedy he really is, but I do, you know, you can rely on Chikamoto to steal a base and put a lot of pressure on the pitcher. So I feel like having Itoi in second there might give just more of a chance to actually score that quick run than having it reversed. But again, it's really just based off of last year's performance, and I really don't know how it's going to pan out this season. And the other thing, of course, is that using Itoi at all is assuming a platoon position, so I don't think he's obviously going to be in there every game, so that would fluctuate as well. For example, if Fukudome comes in and replaces him, that's going to switch up the lineup as well, too. But that's sort of the reasoning behind how I put it for this opening day lineup.
So here's the other plus that comes out of your decision is that it takes away the early bunt because, you know, if Chikamoto gets on base, there's no way they're making Itoi bunt, you know. He'll take a few pitches and let Chikamoto either try and run or he might, you know, club him in with a double. And any double that Itoi hits is going to score Chikamoto. So I actually kind of like what you got there. Now, Sanjay, you're the only one who chose to have three foreigners in the starting lineup on opening day, and that's going to affect the rest of your choice making probably for the rest of the show. But tell me a little bit about your thinking on that.
I'm thinking that we need offense and we need a bat.
yeah, Captain so, Obvious there.
So look, you know, and do the risk return analysis. I didn't actually, but if you think about it, position players play every day. Pitchers pitch every few days. So I'm thinking that we go all in and get as much offense as we can in the batting lineup. And that's really all I have.
Okay. The other interesting thing about your choice, Sanjay, is I think that probably you have a better zigzag or whatever you want to call it order than anybody else. Because you go lefty, lefty, righty, lefty, righty, lefty, righty, lefty.
Yeah, and I thought about that too. Because we have a lot of lefties on the team. My goodness.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, that, you know, when you think about the natural hamakaze, the ocean wind at Koshien Stadium, that doesn't necessarily play all that well. But listen, Chikamoto's showing a lot of power. They're talking about him being a possible 30-30 guy eventually. And if you've seen Justin Bohr's hitting, my goodness, I love that, you know, easy swing with power in all directions. The guy is Randy Bass, okay? I'm sorry. I'm putting that onus on him already.
No.
Cleanup hitter. He's good.
Okay.
He can do it. So I'm okay with having I'm good with having Bohr batting lefty and being number four because he can go the other way and he can do it with a lot of power.
Yeah, I like that righty-lefty swap that you had too. Initially, I had that as well. I had Oyama in there batting fifth, to give a 3-4-5 Marte, Bor, Oyama, which I thought they would protect each other pretty well. But I don't know. I really wanted to get Takayama in there as well, and so that just made it really difficult. But it's tough. It's not an easy lineup to pick out.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, it's not like we're talking about it's hard to pick because we have so many darn superstars. It's that we have a lot of guys that could be stars but aren't yet. But they all seem to be about the same level. Okay, well, before we get into the starting pitching rotation, which is going to start with Yuki Nishi, let's look at our bench guys, because we've named our starting eight on the field, of course, plus Nishi. Who are you putting on your bench? And I'm assuming that we're probably going to have about six guys sitting on the bench as far as fielders go. So why don't you go first this time, JD?
Okay, well, just to name them off really quickly, Sakamoto and Haraguchi as, you know, potential catcher, and then Haraguchi, of course, at first base. For the outfield, Fukudome and Egoshi. And then actually, wait, I might be going over the player limit here. I'll just list it off, and I might be over by one. But and then for infielders, I've got Yokawa, Hojo, and Ueda. Yes, Yokawa, no Oyama. I know I'm going to get lots of Rotten Tomatoes thrown at me for this one, but I'm not sold yet. Yokawa is playing really well right now, which I know that doesn't necessarily translate into results at the beginning of the season. I would put Yokawa on a very short leash, ready to be replaced by Oyama, you know, at the drop of a hat. But those are my guys, yeah.
Okay, well, I would insert either Rotten Tomatoes or a laugh track on Yokawa, but that's just me. Sanjay, who you got?
I have to admit that I didn't do my homework on this one very much, so you can just skip over this section for me.
All right, well, I will let you know what I've got then, and it's really not too different from what you had, JD, but I do have Sakamoto and Haraguchi as catchers, and then I have Hojo and Ueda as infielders, but also I've got Marte in there as another one, because I know it maybe doesn't make sense to have him on the bench, but he's a guy that can either spell Bor if things aren't going well, or he could also spell Oyama, as far as my lineup goes. And then I've got Fukudome as my final piece in there as well. Now, the downside of my choices is that I don't have a defensive replacement for the outfield. However, looking at who I've got there with Chikamoto and Itoi and Takayama, I mean, can you beat that outfield, honestly? I'm sorry. And sarcasm. So, yeah, but I like your choice of Egoshi, JD. But for me, he just didn't fit as far as roster space goes. But he was next on my list, actually.
Yeah, I think actually I might be over by one, in which case Egoshi is the one who would get cut for me.
Okay. All right, so notables left out of mine would include Nakatani, who has not really been spoken of at all on this show, but he's still a guy that, you know, 3 years ago hit 20 home runs and has the potential to do that any year if he can just find that swing. I also don't have Jerry Sands in there, but neither do you, JD. I left Yokawa off of mine as well, and so he could even be on a short leash on the farm as far as I'm concerned. And then the other one that I think all of us left off, is Uemoto, whom I really have a soft spot for. I really think that, you know, he's just got the energy, he's got the tenacity, and unfortunately he only plays the one position, and that's maybe his downfall. He only plays second base, and if Itohara is there, who played in every game last year, it's going to be hard for him to find time to play. So, okay, let's jump into the starting rotation then, and of course we're all starting with Yuki Nishi because he is the opening day starter. I'll go first this time. After that, I have got Haruto Takahashi and Joe Gunkel as my first three that will go up against the Swallows. There's been talk of Gunkel starting the next series against the Bay Stars, but I think I'd rather leave that to someone with experience. So I'm putting Aoyagi as the starter in that first one against the Bay Stars, followed by Iwasada. And then I was going to put Mochizuki in, but he just got sent down to the farm. And being sent down to the farm in February is not a good sign. So maybe instead of him, I would say Akiyama. But my heart is still with Mochizuki as the number six starter. How about you, JD?
So first, of course, I've got Nishi. And then for number two and three, I've got Aoyagi and Takahashi. Number four, I was going to have Garcia there. I figure that he, although he had a disastrous start to last season, he more than made up for it later on. But he is injured right now, apparently. Shoulder injury, which is not good news. So between that and the fact that Gunkel has performed so well so far, I think that he's going right into the number four spot for me. After which, I would have Iwasada in the five spot. And like you, probably Akiyama. I was thinking Mochizuki as well, but he had a pretty rough time so far. So I think Akiyama is the one I'd go with there. came pretty close to saying Fujinami just because, you know what, it's like, just throw him in there and see what happens. But I, at this point, I figure it's like better to go with something that's a little more certain. So yeah, Akiyama gets the number six spot for me.
That having been said, though, I mean, he does historically play well in Yokohama, which would be where he would throw if he was the number six starter. So it's not a terrible decision, but it also depends how he does over the next month.
Yep.
Sanjay, have you got a starting rotation for us?
Well, I was pretty much in agreement with what T-Ray said, with the exception that I was for Akiyama as the last spot. And you know, I feel really bad now that I hadn't thought about Fujinami. He's actually had some good things happen to him during the year. During spring training. And I went very keen to give him another shot earlier rather than later and see what he's got. But yeah, Nishi at the top and Gunkel and Aoyagi and all my good friends, Takashi Haruto, we have an embarrassment of riches at pitcher, actually.
Well, I really think, you know, there's guys that we haven't even mentioned that are kind of lurking in the shadows and waiting for their chance. Saiki's another guy that's injured but has a chance. Iwata just got called up to the top squad today, and I don't know if that's good or bad, but he's there as an option as well. And there's even a couple other young guys that are just waiting to get that little bit of a chance to get in there as well. So let's jump now into the bullpen then and see what we've got as far as that goes. Now, last year, of course, the bullpen was one of our strengths, but we did lose Rafael Dolis. We lost Pierce Johnson. And also, a lot of our guys may be suffering from fatigue or injury, and so it might be tough to make this the team's strength in 2020. Who you got for us here, JD?
Okay, so I'd have Fujikawa as our closer, of course. Edwards should be in there, and then beyond that, the usual suspects, Shimamoto, Moriya, Iwazaki, and then Ono Taiki, I think, for some long relief.
Okay. I'm mostly with you on that. I would actually not have Ono in there personally. I think that he's another guy that could be a starter someday, and maybe he just needs a bit of time, or maybe he can be the sixth guy if like Akiyama doesn't pan out or whatever. So a lot of the guys are the same, and then I've got Nomi in there because I still believe in Nomi, and I think we need a couple of good lefties in the bullpen, or more than a couple. And then also a new-ish guy, Masaki Tanigawa, who had a pretty decent spring as well, and I think maybe his time has come. He seems to me kind of like to be an Ishizaki of 2017. I don't know if you remember him, but he got sent off to the Marines last season, but he was quite good out of the bullpen. So there's an option there as well. Sanjay, have you got anyone for us?
My list of likely suspects is pretty similar to yours, but I want to definitely mention that I have both Iwata and Nomi in there as the crafty lefties that need to be in there for, you know, 1 point relief or whatever it is. And you got to I like Psyche in there. And of course, I don't know how we work Edwards in there if I have Gunkel and I have three position players that are Gaijin. So,
right, yeah.
There's going to be some creative demoting and promoting.
Well, and I think that's going to be an issue that the team has as well is figuring out ways to keep these guys motivated and happy and keep them productive as well. So that's going to be a challenge. All right, so none of us, though, mentioned Robert Suarez, who also had a decent spring, I believe, and definitely could be a valuable piece to that bullpen. Again, the problem becomes, how do we balance having a limitation of four imports and needing some bats in the lineup, right?
Yeah, that's really the most difficult thing so far, is that you've got eight guys that you can only have half of them up at any given time. What I worry about is that this wealth of options is going to lead to a lot of guys getting sent down, pulled back up, sent down, being on very short leashes when perhaps they should be left to sort of work out their problems. You know, this has been something that the Tigers have been guilty of in the past, and I'm just worried that this, glut of foreign players is going to lead to more of that.
If you read my interview with Craig Brazel that I just published yesterday, I interviewed Brazel last week, and that was one of the things he said. He said, if I had to give advice to Yano, it would be give these guys a chance and do not pull them out of the lineup or demote them too soon, because these things take time. Adjustments take time, and give them the benefit of the doubt. So I'm totally with you on that. And I mean, we've seen that. We've talked about this on probably every other show since 2015.
But I did read your piece, and I would like to tell everybody to go to thehanshintiger.com and read.
Yeah, I really enjoyed talking with him, and he was quite quite chatty with me. I really enjoyed that, and so we've been exchanging texts even since then. Another one is going to be coming out soon. I'm just going to put up the transcript as well, just like I did with Brazil. And it's actually not even a Hanshin Tiger, but a really old school superstar in NPB, Boomer Wells. And this is, of course, not Boomer Wells, the pitcher of the Blue Jays / Yankees. This is Boomer Wells of the Hankyu Braves, the Oryx Braves superstar. Yeah, I talked to him a couple days ago as well, and a you know, great guy. So be on the lookout for that. I know it's not H10, but it's our neighboring team. So there you go. All right, guys. Well, that about does it. And so we are going to see, of course, in less than a month, who is in the starting lineup and who is not on March the 20th, which is opening day. And just a quick announcement about that, and we can get to it probably next show as well. The opening day actually starts at 1 p.m. in Japan, even though it's a Friday. It's a national holiday, and so they're going to start the game in the afternoon. I think only the Giants are playing a night game that day. So for those of you who are stateside or elsewhere in the world, set your alarm clocks or, you know, set your reminder on your phone, whatever it might be. 1 p.m. Japan time is opening day on March the 20th. We're going to be in Tokyo to play the Swallows. All right. Well, usually this is the time of show where we jump into predictions, but we just kind of did predictions of the lineup. I just want to announce here the annual contest, which we are hoping to air on the next episode. Of course, that would be the Great Central League Predictions episode. We've been doing this for a few years now, and it's always a lot of fun because I want you to send in an MP3 or a voice recording of yourself predicting the Central League standings from top to bottom. If you want to give some of your reasoning, you can, but tell us who's going to finish 6th, 5th, 4th, 3rd, 2nd, and Tigers. And then as a tiebreaker, sorry, that was a little spoiler for my predictions. As a tiebreaker also, just in case two people have the same standings chosen, and it's happened in the past, the tiebreaker is how many home runs is Justin Bour going to hit this season? So you should send that voice file. If you want to send it as a text, that's okay as well, but we prefer to hear your voice instead of boring old T-Ray, to thehanshintigers@gmail.com. That email address is in the show notes, so check it out there. And the deadline for receiving these is going to be March the 15th. And so you've got a couple of weeks still to think this over and get her done. Try to keep it under 2 minutes. And of course, just like we've done in the past, there is a prize for the person who picks the standings perfect from 1st through 6th. You guys in?
Oh yeah,
bring it on.
Yes, I can't wait to get yours at least. So yeah, everyone else though, we look forward to having your voices on the show as well. I just want to remind you right now as well, if you would like to get some more content out of H10 and out of T-Ray, we do have a Patreon page and we have some excellent benefits up there. So if you want to go there and become a patron of Hanshin Tigers English News, we would totally appreciate it. And if not, that's fine. Just enjoy what we got. So thanks again for tuning into H10. And if you haven't gotten your fill of the Tigers just yet after listening to us, of course, we've got the website and we've got social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and maybe elsewhere by the time you listen to this. So check out the show notes to get all the links for all those awesome spots to check us out. Until then, everybody, have a great week, have a great fortnight, and we will see you again before season starts.
Yep. Stay healthy, stay happy, everyone, and go Tigers.
Aloha, go Tigers.